I told Deacon Thomas he can put his sermon away. We're about to ordain him on the spot. Amen, amen. We are absolutely delighted and ecstatic to have one of the finest preachers here in the city of Trent, Mercer County area, but really one of the finest intellectual minds and most passionate spirits that you're going to find in the pastorate anywhere in the United States of America, in the person of the Reverend Toby D. Sanders. His official bio is written in your program in the center of your booklet. And by the way, isn't this a great booklet? Give God a praise offering for the visionaries and the folk who printed and carried out this booklet. Very godly proud of our publishing ministry and Cheryl Colson and Bobby and Diane Holloway and so many others who worked hard. But in the middle of this booklet is an official picture, bio and picture of our guest preacher. And if he is no stranger to this pulpit. He is one of the brothers that I instantly think of in wanting to share if I cannot, and the men love him much. And so not only is he a guest preacher today, but he's also going to be a workshop facilitator, men, at our retreat on Saturday, December the 4th. So we look forward to that experience as well. To do justice to his bio, this pastor is a native of Beaumont, Texas, the oldest of five siblings, born to Pearl Thomas Sanders and Reverend Sanders, and he is the product of a rich tradition and heritage of African-American Baptist and Pentecostal prophetic Christianity. And I love that statement because it speaks both to even what we've been talking about in the pulpit here, that true to one's denomination, but never quenching the spirit. Amen. And this brother allows the Holy Ghost to live within him, to take reign of his life. At a young age, he was wrestling with his not only love of the church, the Black Baptist Church, but really his call into ministry. He is a product of the Morning Star Baptist Church, and God has taken him a long ways from Beaumont, Texas, and the Morning Star Baptist Church in the Lone Star State, to now being a graduate of Morehouse School, the Morehouse College in Atlanta, and had a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary, earning a Master's of Divinity degree. And if the Lord said the same, he and I were just talking about his PhD studies. If the Lord said the same, in about 18 months, he will have completed and defended his thesis, his doctoral thesis at Princeton University, and will be then officially dubbed the Reverend Dr. Toby D. Sanders. Give God a praise offering. I, for one, look forward to that, because if there's some folk into doctoral degrees for the title, but this brother has a thirst for knowledge and an insatiable mind or appetite for not only God's word, but integrating God's word into the public square. And so Reverend Sanders is one who merits the respect of the academy and commands the respect of the community. And I'm glad that he is a friend of mine. He is writing his dissertation thesis, I want to make sure I get this right, The Gift of the Tragic Comment in Black Religious Rhetoric. And so I look forward to reading that when it is published. But all of that, a bachelor's degree, a master's in divinity, a soon-to-be-defended PhD from the Princeton University, all of that is only eclipsed by the fact that in Texas, he was classified as a special ed student. So that lets you know that what man says isn't what God ordains. Come on, somebody. And it lets all of our students, right, who have been unduly classified, perhaps undeservedly classified, to know, parents and students alike, that God is in the blessing business. It takes hard work, but with God's favor upon your life, anything and everything is possible. And so, you know, there's much more one can say about Pastor Sanders. He is a pastor. He is the founding pastor of the Beloved Community Church here in the city of Trenton. And as a pastor, he was taking care of pastoral responsibilities before coming to share with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is married to the lovely Leslie Carol Sanders, who will be here at our 11 o'clock service, who is a veteran teacher in the Trenton Board of Education. And they are the proud parents of four children, Aaron, TJ, Kirsten, and Toby. You will hear more from him by his spirit and his message. But I'm glad that this preacher is going to preach both at the 8 o'clock and the 11 o'clock. If you want to stay for the 11 o'clock, I won't be mad at you. Amen. But you're going to hear a great sermon, a great message from a great man of God who is ordained by a great God. So without further ado, and let me say this, also what makes him so special to me is that as a formerly classified special ed student, he is now the president of the Trenton Board of Education, which also says I'm modeling something, that I'm not just talking about rhetoric. He's going to change the system, and we look forward to him doing so. Let us stretch our hand forward and say, Lord, bless us through Pastor Sanders. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Give God a praise offering. The next voice you're going to hear will be that of the Reverend Toby Sanders.
I'm honored to be here, really beyond my ability to express. I was expecting a sort of pre-sermonic selection so I could get myself together. I don't talk about myself much, but when I hear how good God's been to so sweet to love my Jesus. How I love you o'er and o'er. Woo! It's so sweet. Is your mercy towards me, your loving kindness towards me? Great is your mercy towards me, day after day. abiding in me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. Great is your mercy toward me. Your loving kindness towards me. Great is your mercy. I see day after day, forever faithful towards me. You're always providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. Great is his mercy toward me. Great is his mercy toward us. His loving kindness overwhelms me and abounds in the moment. I am honored by the opportunity to be with you this morning. I bring testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring a witness of friendship and its benefits and merits and its abounding grace, the friendship between men, a kind of holy Menschkite that has to be a part of the fabric of what we become and what we do. That friendship is between your pastor and I, of course, but it's between so many of your deacons and my fellows here, the wonderful ministers and ministries here. I thank God for that friendship, and it is the foundation of the work that I do in the community, in my life, which we'll get more to as the day works its way on. I want to, because of the time of the hours, as they say, and I think film school sort of cut to the chase, I'm thankful to God for everything that God has done for me and for this invitation. I'm incredibly thankful for my family, and I never preach anywhere as a guest without reminding people that I stand before you as the witness, as the outgrowth, as the fruition of answered prayers. It's not so much to me that strangers or people that I don't know very well remember my name. That's good, but I want them to remember my mother or grandmother's name. My mom was a single mom, sisters, you may be out there, and she prayed for me when I wasn't of the disposition to pray for myself. And Pearl Sanders is her name, and so I say that I am the fruition of the prayers of Pearl Sanders and Sarah Thomas. The circumstances of my birth were not filled with glory, but their loving kindness toward me has made it possible for me to become the man that I need to be. And as I talk about all this testosterone and man stuff today, I don't want anybody to forget that in my life it is on the foundation of two women, as I expect it is in a lot of people's lives. Amen. So I give honor to Pearl and Sarah, and then of course God has given me a sort of angel in my life, someone that came along in my life when things were unraveling a bit. I was still a good man. You brothers know how this is. I've always been a good man. Don't believe the hype or the rumors and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is that on the outside I presented as like I was whole and everything was together, but I was heartbroken every day, and I was doing stuff for people. You know, the community, and representing, you know, but inside I was lonely and sad. And then this woman, Leslie Sanders, came into my life, and it changed everything for me intrinsically, emotionally. Spiritually, I was okay, but the spirituality is not the wholeness of the thing. Yeah, I know, you know, I'm not used to preachers saying that, but it's true. We can be spiritual and emotionally broken and use our spirituality, right, to hurt other people. So, I'm saying something now, right? So we come to church and we do all this other stuff, but that because we're emotionally broken, our spirituality starts to become used by the enemy to break other people and to hurt other folk. Well, I'm just talking about my wife. And the woman that I love came into my life and fixed my emotional foundation in such a way that my spiritual gifts took off. This just a courage for marriage and commitment and sincere relationship. That's all. But you can take it as me applauding Leslie Sanders and saying to God how much I appreciate her in my life. All right. Okay. Now, if I don't say anything else, I done preached, right? So I give my little... Okay, that's all right. We're going to go to Psalm 51. Amen. We will root ourselves in the word, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a retreat in itself. Hint, hint, brothers. But we're going to be talking today about love. Amen. And in the 11 o'clock service, we're going to do part two. I'm going to give you a brief ramp up to the 11 o'clock service. And I encourage any of you that do that to stay to get the fuller expression of this in part two. But part one of this sermon is going to be called The Heart of a Man. And so we're going to deal with the Psalm 51. And I'm going to cut to the chase. And I'm going to go right to verse 10. You know, now understand in verse 1, David says to God, please, I need your loving kindness, right? But then, and he starts to make some confession and start to talk about what he needs. Then at the heart of the matter, the fulcrum of the psalm is in verse 10. Are you ready? Are you there? You got that? Psalm 51, verse 10? I know you know it by heart because it says, Barah. Yeah, the first word in 10 is Barah, create. Right, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word is bara. It means to build something. Oh, I can feel my help coming. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit within me." Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning briefly about the heart of a man. Amen. The heart of a man. The heart of a man. If we're going to talk about love today, and we are, we're going to talk about a love supreme in a little bit. We have to first talk about the apparatuses that we need for love. And before we can love, we have to develop the capacities to love. Or else our concepts of love will be corrupted by the community and the marketplace that we call the world, which is broken, huh? And messed up. Toe up from the flow up, as we say, right? And so our conception of love will be broken. So we must first lay a foundation. And the foundation of love is indeed the heart of God. It is because of love that the world exists in any way. And if you don't believe me, listen to Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in, right, John. It says what? John 3:16. That's the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it's also because of love that the world was bara, created at all, because God wanted to expand love out of the internal life of God and God's own aseity. God wanted to share that thing beyond the perichoretic dance that is the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God is looking around at the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and saying, hey, this is a good thing. Let's share this. And so God builds a world in order to share love. So love is the reason for everything. I said everything. But something happened in the heart of man that began to covet something that had already been given, that got confused and confounded by the message of the serpent and lost the connection with God. And so The gospel, the Torah itself, is an outworking of how God is trying to teach his lost children how to grow back in love with God. So indeed, as we look to find the foundation of the concept of love, it has to be rooted in the heart, the lev of Yahweh, the heart of God. But how can we know the heart of God? We are given the heart of God by the example of love in the world. The first and primary example for us is the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Right? So what Jesus did and what Jesus does helps us to understand the deep meaningfulness of love. Before we can understand how special Jesus is, we have to look at the love of a great man, but an ordinary man, and see the great chasm, the great abyss, the great distance between the heart of God and the heart of men. The heart of a man is a powerful thing. It can build worlds too. It can build families. It can build communities. It can build ministries. It can build possibilities. The heart of a man is indeed a potentially a great thing. But what happens when the heart of a man is broken? That the way of a man is not what it should be. That a broken heart leads to a broken life, leads to a broken world. It is simple here in this kind of emotional mimesis that is the copying of two things. If we look at what's wrong in our community, we can see the brokenheartedness of men at the root of it. Now, I'm going right to the chase now. I don't have time for the long historical introduction. I'm asking you to examine the community that we're in today, the circumstances that we're in right now, the type of situations that our children face, and if not our children, our neighbor's children, and if not our neighbor's children, because we've moved far away enough to the exurb, then the children of our history, the children of the communities that we was raised in. I'm talking about the brokenness, right, in the African-American community that we see every evidence in the schools and the educational systems, right? 98% of the children, right? In some classes, huh? No father in the house at all. 98%. Oh, we say that they're broken by the society and the economic crisis, but black folk coming out of slavery when marriage was illegal, 78% of black children were born into a family with a husband and a wife. Something wrong, right? So let's not sit up pretend just because we smell good and we're dressed up that there's not a messed up situation that we are addressing. Yeah. The brokenheartedness of men leads to the brokenheartedness of families, leads to the brokenness of a community, leads to the intransigence, of some of our problems that we have. So we got to get to the root, and the root is the heart of a man. See, the heart of a man, right, is the foundation of a world. It is. I know, but maybe we could go to school a little bit. I know how to make it plain. Hey, man, you doing? Oh, yeah, we ready to roll. That's a good friend of mine over there. Look, the heart of a man over there. Look, a part of the thing that we don't understand, right, because we don't pay attention sometimes, is there's a difference between the types of hearts that animals have. Amen? I keep suggesting to you that there's this heart of a man, right? But maybe you really don't know what the heart is. All right, well, let's go to biology and spirituality and theology school. Work our way through biology, psychology, and spirituality. So, biologically, the heart of a man is a closed circulatory system that has several components that help it process blood in a certain kind of way to keep the rest of the body alive. So as I say metaphorically that the heart of a man is the foundation of a community, the heart of a human being is the foundation of the life system in a human being. Oh, I think you understand me. But somehow we have a problem with hearts such that the body is broken and the community is broken. Well, maybe I can give an example to you. One of the problems in the Hebrew culture, right, was this comparison. The problematic was the comparison between the heart of a man and, say, let's say the heart of an insect, right? A grasshopper. You're familiar with that, right? When the people were about to go into the promised land. I think I'm saying something now.
Yeah.
When the people were about to go into the promised land, they looked and they saw that there were giants in the promised land. They're rich folk in the promised land. They're well-paid folk in the promised land. But we look like grasshoppers in their eyes and our own. Book of Numbers, right? Right. Okay, so we want to compare the heart of a man and the heart of a grasshopper, right? That would be good, and I think I can make my point and get ready to go home. You see, the heart of a grasshopper, a migratory insect, once it reaches a certain size and population density, the heart of a grasshopper has a structure that's not like the heart of a man. The heart of a grasshopper is called an open system based on hemolymph, which is a substitute for blood, but not actually blood itself. It's a fluid that's throughout the body that approximates blood, but doesn't have some of the powerful properties of blood. Believe me, I'm preaching right now. The hemolymph system in a grasshopper, right, it's structured such that it gets nutrients to the body, amen, but it doesn't beat, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. In order for the grasshopper's hemolymph or blood to flow, you know, and for its weak little heart to work, the grasshopper, right, got to jump around. Boom, boom. Right, you feel me, right? So unless the grasshopper jumping around, right, his heart isn't working. Oh, I think I'm saying something. Because there are some brothers who have not the heart of a man, but the heart of a grasshopper. Huh? Yeah, they gotta hop from woman to woman to woman, right? In order for their heart to work. But not just that. They gotta hop from church to church to church in order for their prestige to work. Oh, I'm saying something now, right? Oh yeah. They gotta hop, right? From assignment to assignment to assignment, from job to job to job, because they cannot be happy building and working on something in one place. It was the grasshopper's heart that motivated David to mess up with Bathsheba in the first place. He was standing on top of the world, had folk who loved him. He was standing in a palace, looking over at another situation and decided, well, let me hop over there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can remember the hemolymph, right? Hemolymph, right? It is the kind of fluid in the bodies of some folk that cannot work unless they're on the move and cannot work unless they're going from place to place. I got another little bit for you. The relationship between the grasshopper's heart and his digestive system is really deep too, because the grasshopper most of the time is a polyphalus creature, right? Meaning that it must eat from plant to plant to plant to plant. Not Mollyfuckers. that's I eat one kind of thing. No. I want to sample everything. Oh, yeah. So you can see then the relationship between the heart and the appetite. Oh, I know you're feeling me now. You cannot be satisfied, right, with where you've been placed or what you've been blessed with. It's always greener. It's always sweeter, huh? I'm going to stop before I get in trouble. The heart of a grasshopper then is related to the appetite of a grasshopper, is related to the condition of a grasshopper. I got most people. Let me get everybody. Here is something that you may not know. That a grasshopper is nothing but an isolated locust. Yeah. See, locusts and grasshoppers are exactly the same insect. Why do I say this? I say this, and it is important to you, because grasshoppers become locusts when too many of them are in one area, and that our community is being devoured by a swarm of locusts, right? Who are grasshoppers. but their numbers are so great, right, that they are destroying the fertile fields that would be a community and a society. It is ridiculous that 75% of African American women between the ages of 25 and 55 is predicted will never be married. It is unacceptable to a Christian people. It is unacceptable to a race of folk who helped build the world. It is unacceptable to us. Right? Locusts, I'm talking about. You see, one of the things about grasshoppers and locusts, right, is that the early grasshopper is called a lymph, right? And then the grown grasshopper is called a grasshopper or locust. And if you look, you can look on Wikipedia, or you can look up in any kind of journal and find out that this is true. The thing about a grasshopper is that the lymph, the newborn grasshopper, look just like a full-grown grasshopper. The only difference is the size. I'm gonna let you cogitate on that. Just chew on that. So the baby grasshopper is just like a grown-up grasshopper. The heart worked the same way, right? So the only difference between a boy grasshopper and a man grasshopper is the relative size of the grasshopper. That is ridiculous and unacceptable. Amen? Yeah. Yo, are you with me? All right. I know. Don't get too mad at me, brothers. I'm not beating up on you. I'm just telling it like it is. And you know that there are things that we suborn and support in our community as men that are unacceptable. And if we're going to love like we need to, we need to understand the heart of a man. Well, what is it about the heart of a man that is different from the heart of a grasshopper? Well, the heart of a man, amen, is a closed circulatory system. Amen? It has two compartments, right? It has a compartment that beats and send blood out into the body full of oxygen or air. Because cells need that, full of hormones and nutrients, because every cell of our body needs blood and oxygen, which I think of as a metaphor for the spirit. And so that the heart of a man beats, boom, 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 to pump out, right, the life-giving blood that we need. But then there's a second component to the heart of a man. In the heart of a man, there's another system in the heart that recycles and takes back the blood, right? And sends it through the body's systems to cleanse it, right? So that it is useful again. So we have what? Arteries and veins. Oh, yeah. I think I'm saying something here. So that the heart of a man is a closed system, that is, it's not open to any kind of mess. It's not open like the grasshopper system. The grasshopper potentially, right, breathes and stuff through his mouth only and, you know, kicks out stuff through its mouth. Waste. Man, y'all. You're going to have to look it up to see if this is true. But it's true. In the hemolymph system, right, the garbage that gets accumulated in the waste byproducts of the grasshopper come out the head of the grasshopper. Preacher. Oh, it's just, I make myself happy sometimes. Huh? You know, sometimes it's just for me. And I'm just sharing. But God know you've been blessed. In a grasshopper heart, the waste come out the mouth and the head. In a human system, the waste come out. Here's what I'm telling you, brothers, that a lot of times in your heart situation, sometimes you don't separate the input and the output. Sometimes you fall apart emotionally or fall apart psychologically, and your blood and your circulatory system becomes toxic. Huh? And what you think is love, what you think is the blood that's supposed to be covering the needs of your family and your community, is toxified by your desires and your hatred. It's toxified by your undealt with issues, because you haven't separated out
the blood that comes through you to purify your circumstance from the blood that comes in you to cleanse your life and to bring life to every organ in the body. So all of a sudden, I'm not talking about just the body anymore. I'm talking about the congregation. I'm talking about the relationship between the deacon board and the trustee board and the usher board and all the other organs of the church. You understand? That there's supposed to be a flow through of the blood and the body of the spirit, right? And then there's supposed to be waste and garbage and the output, right? In a separate system that's closed that leads directly to the poop chute. What I'm saying is, and the blood is the key to this system. You understand? But so many brothers, because they don't deal with their issues, right? They don't breathe properly. Right? Because the lungs, of course, pump the oxygen into the heart. And in order, you know, when you're trying to get well, they tell you, just rest and breathe. Breathe deeply, right, and healthy, so that your lungs give to your heart, right, the pure oxygen that you need to get to your brain so that it works right and to keep your organs alive, right? But then on the other cycle of that, the blood brings the garbage and the trash byproducts and takes you, right, and gives you the codes and the hormone system such that what is toxic, what is poisonous to you is kicked out, expurgated by the body. But if you don't deal with your mess, let me just make it Wilbur section on you for a minute. I know. If you don't deal with your stuff, right, it will destroy your family. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your church, right? But some of us try to, how do they say, you know, poop where we eat, huh? Because our hearts are so contaminated by our brokenness. Well, I deserve that. I should get that, right? Why can't I have her? She too good for him. Why am I not president, vice president, or treasurer? But the heart of a man has a closed system such that that which is clean stays within the clean loop, and that which is contaminated and waste goes out of the body and the system. The heart of a man. As we come to this text, we're very familiar with the life of David. We're very familiar with the heart of David. But we know that both Paul and Samuel say that David is a man of God's own heart. What could it be about David's heart that makes it like God's heart? That's got to be the principal intellectual and theological problematic for you. How could somebody who is imperfect and is broken as me. I just skipped to me because I could have said David. Or I could have said you, but I skipped to me because I didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But how could a man as imperfect as we are as men have a heart, huh? Like God. Have a heart that's like God's own heart. Well, I'm glad you asked. The theologian John Park talks about the heart of God, and he's a Korean theologian, and he uses the concept of Han in Korea, right? And he talks about the vulnerability of the heart of God, that God's heart is intentionally vulnerable, right? That is his principal characteristic, that God has decided to make God's self vulnerable to us, right? What's the problem in our society is that we teach a man, right? That the principal thing in being a man is to be strong and not to be vulnerable to anybody or anything. And this is a toxic meme. This is a toxic concept such that men grow up and they are hard, and men grow up and they got swagger, but men grow up and they are heartless. Huh? Because they don't want their heart to be broken by anybody. I don't know, something happened to them when they was 12 or 13. Maybe mama was too good to them. Oh, that can happen, you know. You can spoil a good boy. Huh? You don't make him pick up after himself. You don't make him wash his own clothes. You don't teach him how to cook. You don't teach him how to take care of himself, and he feel like the world is supposed to take care of him. You can spoil a good boy. Because he's cute, you let him get away with that smile and that swagger and that strut, right? And then he walks through life that way, you can spoil a good boy, right? Such that his heart becomes impermeable to real life. His heart becomes impermeable to the real expectations of what it is to be a man, right? and he never experiences the Han of God. There is a word in the Hebrew for the Korean Han, and it is the Hebrew word Hesed. Hesed. We don't have a word in English to translate it, so we combine two words. I'm almost done. We about to go home, but it's going to be a good trip. Look at it. The Hebrew word for Han, the Hebrew word for the heart of a man, is the word Hesed. Huh? And we don't have a word in English to translate Hesed, so we combine typically two words in the King James, and it becomes the word loving kindness. Great is your mercy toward me, your loving kindness towards me. Huh? The loving kindness is the word translated as Hesed, and it is the character of the heart of God, the character, right, of the mind of God, the character of the man of God. I feel my help is right here, right now. Look, so we have this Hesed, right? But what does it really mean? This Hesed is being vulnerable to God. It's being vulnerable to others. It's being vulnerable in the heart of a man. One of the things that David learns in his life is that you're not always on top. Sometimes you have to lead from behind. Sometimes you have the responsibility to guide people and to lead people. And you have the authority and all the resources that you need, but you still have to show Hesed. Hesed is the capacity to love somebody that's weaker than you, to love somebody that depends on you, to love somebody that needs you, to love somebody that puts pressure on you by putting responsibility on you. That's Hesed, to be able to love somebody when you lead. But very often, right, when we see somebody that we need to lead, we think of them as weak. We want to criticize, right? And we don't want that responsibility. We don't want that burden, right? And so we say, well, I'm going to find somebody who is more partner, or I'm going to find some place that's stronger. I'm saying something to you that's profound. It may not be poetic, right? It may not be what do you call it? But I'm saying something to you about the heart of a man and this Hesed thing. Hesed is the ability to love someone that needs you, to love someone that depends on you, to love someone that takes resources from you, to love someone that needs you, right? And a lot of things that happens with our young boys who have grasshopper's hearts is that they never grow to be strong enough to be dependable, right? They want to be boys all their life. They want to play Nintendo all their life. They want to go from plant to plant to plant all their life. And they resent, I'm telling you, they resent when you ask them to do something, right, that requires that they sacrifice, that requires that they give up something, that requires, I'm talking to you. So they don't understand Hesed. They don't understand the love of God that leads us, that guides us along the way, and loves us even though sometimes we don't deserve the love we get. We misguide our men and boys in our society when we tell them love someone who deserves it. Huh? Like love is something that's got to be earned. No, you have to be able to give love even when it seems that it doesn't, the object of your love doesn't deserve. That's Hesed. But we don't teach our men that. We teach our women that. But that's another sermon, ain't it? I'm almost done, believe it or not. But this Hesed thing is more complex than that. This Hesed thing is also the capacity to love someone when you're not on top. When you've lost. When you've committed an offense. When you've made a no-no. When you have wet the bed or your pants. When you have messed up in the situation, when you have broken someone's heart, when you have broken a promise, when you are the underdog and the underling, there are even more men that cannot handle this kind of love. We try to shower our young boys sometimes with love when they have messed up in school or when they have messed up in life, and they get to a point where they can't even accept that love because they think, you don't really love me. How could anyone really love me? How could anyone really love me because my daddy don't love me? How could anyone really love me because my mama don't love me? And so our young boys have lost the capacity to love themselves and to accept love when they are in a position of weakness or vulnerability. This is Hesed. Hesed. I can see you get it. it's not always in the shouts that the Spirit works. Sometimes it's in the silence. And I can hear in your silence you working it out for Jamal and Dion and Davon and Deshaun, right? It's Hesed. I can hear my teachers thinking, that's it. That's why he acts up in class every day. I can hear my big mama saying, that's it. That's why that boy won't listen to anybody but his mom. Then I can hear my pastor friends and ministers saying, that's it. That's why I can't connect with my nephew. That's why I can't connect with my neighbor. It's Hesed. Then how then if we know the answer, if we know that this is the case, how then do we connect to the heart of God, this Hesed quality? How then do we teach our young boys to love, huh? And to teach our old boys to love, huh? How do we teach boys, young and old, huh? To experience and accept love? Well, David sets an example for us in that David does three things that's going to take us home this morning. The first thing that David does is acknowledge, huh? Acknowledge the power of God. Acknowledge, right? The authority of God. Acknowledge that there's a power higher than you. A part of the reason we can't love because we don't acknowledge that there's a power higher than us. The second thing that we must do, because I'm rushing to my seat, is be resolved, that is to be determined, right? To do that which is right. The reality is that our young boys and our young men who are boys and our men who are men know what is right, right? We know what's good, we know what's right, but the resolve to do it sometimes, right? We don't have, because we don't want to go through the shame. We don't want to go through what we have to go through to do it. But after you acknowledge, you must be resolved. That is, you must have a made up mind that I'm going to say it like it is. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to face it and face it down. Secrets are what are destroying some of our men. Secrets about being abused or having abused or having done some things. Secrets are destroying us in our unwillingness to be resolved. Huh? Then there is this thing called pursuance. Huh? That is in the Hesed heart, that David is constantly pursuing God, right? God, show me your face. God, show me my destiny. God, show me what you have for me. God, show me your love. God, show me. David is constantly pursuing God, but then in these moments, David figures out, I'm chasing God, but God's pursuing me. Goodness and mercy shall surely follow me all the days of my life. You understand? So in a real man figures out in his pursuance that what he's chasing is actually chasing him. So he just got to be still, huh? And wait on the power of the Lord. Oh, we're about ready to go home now. If you can acknowledge and you can be resolved and you can understand the ironies involved in pursuance, that stop chasing the next woman, stop chasing the next paycheck, stop chasing the next ministry assignment, stop chasing the next opportunity, and wait. I say wait. I say wait on the Lord, and he shall renew thy strength. You shall mount up on the...
Reach out.
What David figures out in his heart that will sustain his Hesed. Now remember, Hesed is his capacity to love God. Paul says, I have learned the secret of how to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself in. That's a New Testament version of Hesed. Well, how is Paul content in whatever circumstance Paul finds himself in? Because Paul understands, right, that whether, right, I abound or whether I lack, whether I'm on top of the world or whether I'm under his feet, I'm a praise my God. Joy, I say, joy. You might have forgotten with all that intellectual talk that this is a psalm I'm reading. This is a song. David don't just testify, he sings his glory to God. Come on, brothers. Can you do it? Can you sing? My soul look back and wonder how I got over. Huh? Renewing me a clean heart. Huh? Give me a clean heart so I can serve you. Give me a clean heart so that I can be used by you. You got that? You got to sing. You got to praise him, brothers. You got to get on your feet, no matter what kind of circumstance you're in. Whether you're bankrupt or bank president, you got to praise God. You got to lift him up. You got to... You know why? Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Huh? Well, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's a song. Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's enough for right now.
Everybody standing to their feet. Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. One more time for the Holy Spirit. The gospel has been preached. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, you all help extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Somebody needed to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. The heart of a man. Someone here needed to be thankful, needs to be thankful that they were in church this morning. Amen. To hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.